choose differently, I can't.
Right. And so that's why I'm thinking of setting myself up for success, right? Sometimes it is that too, right? And for me, it's going to be, you know, I do like it. I like being far from civilization. I mean, I'm exaggerating out here. Obviously I have neighbors, but it is nice. Like, I don't know. I've gotten used to it. Like, here's what I would say. If all my friends lived here, like in this where I'm at, I would love to stay here. This is the truth. Like, I fell in love with where I live.
Mm.
It's beautiful.
Even with the cold?
Yeah. And it's because you get to enjoy all of it. I mean, you get four seasons, man. Like, I didn't know how nice it is until, like, I had it. And so it was kind of, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't need it. But now that I'm like, oh, yeah, it's nice to have spring. It's nice to have a summer and be hot. And it's nice to see snow and for it to be cold. Yeah, I don't know. I'm weird, I guess. Never thought I would say that. I'm like, but you don't know any different, right? I grew up in Arizona my whole life and I hadn't experienced anything else. And maybe I got lucky.
Well, that's probably part of it. Like, I was, you know, growing up in Tulsa, you get all the things too. Like, you get snow, you get cold. I mean, so you leaves falling, like, fall is my favorite. Fall here is weird, right? But back in Oklahoma, like, fall is, hey, I'd walk to school and, like, have my hoodie on and, like, you know what I mean? And, like, you could feel the brisk and leaves changing and to see all that stuff. And then we'd, like, sometimes, like, pray for that snow day. It didn't snow a lot, but, like, you get it. So it wouldn't be, like, here where it's, like, if it snows, it's, like, unheard of. And you can obviously, like, drive up to, like, the north and, like, see snow. So, but in general, having it, like, right here. So I get the seasons thing. It is nice. It's cool to experience that.
The only thing, I guess, is my, but every place, the only complaint that I would have here is the long weeks of not seeing the sun, you know, and which is going to start here.
Oh, really? It's like that?
Yeah. Like you will, like, in December, January, there'll be like weeks of no sun, just constant clouds.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought that, oh, it's clouds. So it's there, but it's not like it's like Alaska where it's like the sun doesn't come up for like a month or something, right?
Isn't that Alaska? You see obviously daylight and whatever, but it's always a thick layer of clouds just constantly. So it's always gray.
Huh.
That's the only complaint that I would have. But other than that, I mean, like I said, and for me, like Arizona, like, sure, you know, it's always sunny and whatever. But then you get like those long, long weeks of just hot where you can't do anything. I mean, like, yeah, you're driving your car, you know, and same as out here, right? People, yes, sure, you can go somewhere, but it's just too cold, right? Cold getting in and out of your car, cold going in and out of the store.
Mm-hmm.
So...
cold's interesting though too, because the cold like goes to your bones even though after you've been cold.
Painful.
You're like, hey, I should be warm now. You're like, I'm still cold. It's like in your bones. Interesting. And then like the layering just to go anywhere, like layers.
So yesterday I went out and and kind of the same thing. I realized, okay, I have to get new jackets because after losing a lot of weight, I had these big old jackets. I'm like, yeah, this is. So then I almost forgot my jacket because, to your point, you're wearing so many layers that, you know, I was like, oh, I'm fine. And then I'm like, oh, no, I need my jacket. So, yeah, layers. Okay. So let's get into this conversation. And you sent me this link. And for the listener, this is actually an interesting... because when we approach male-female issues, I always will say, you know, there is a certain element to the male-female dynamic or male-female relationships. And it is biology, right? I always say biology or, you know, this is in our genes. This is genetic. And you sent me this link here that I thought this would actually be great to have a conversation on the... effects and these are subconscious effects that we're having, right? That are happening. And I find it very interesting. And to me, I think it makes a lot of sense. Right?
Absolutely.
And so let me read it. because I think this. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and read the summary of this. So it says, a study published in the journal Trends in Ecology and Evolution revealed that taking the oral contraceptive pill might significantly alter both male and female mate choices. The research found that using the pill disrupts biological and environmental cues for selecting mates that have high comparability. I think they meant compatibility here. High comparability. Anyway, the data points to higher likelihood of reproductive challenges and poor health outcomes for offspring. There are so many subtle yet remarkable things about human relationships and biology that are unseen. We connect with certain people, not just because of superficial things, but because our bodies know they are compatible with us. This ancient biological wisdom is dramatically disrupted when newly invented drugs are used to trick human reproductive cycles and alter not only hormones, but every cell in the body is affected. And so I don't know, like when I hear something like this, I'm like, this is a lot of common sense here. You know, I watched this guy who trains dogs, and I'm not talking about it, because there's also Cesar Millan, who's a dog whisperer. There's this other guy that I watch on YouTube, and he's actually really good, you know, training dogs. So people bring him their dogs, and you know, they're not able to control their dog or whatever. They have anger issues, or they're just a dominant dog or whatever, you know, like things that how to train a dog. And one of the things that this guy always says is like, you know, when you look at dogs, how do they meet? Like, and this is it's funny when we think about it, but what do dogs do to know who you are? Like when a dog meets another dog, what do they do, Samantha?
Sniff each other. They sniff one dog.
They sniff their, you know, their genitals, and they sniff their butts, basically. It's funny, but it happens. And so when you think about it, well, why do they do that? So this guy is saying, you know, when they do that, they know a lot about the dog. They know if it's a spay, they know, you know, if the dog is in heat, they know a lot of things about a dog based just on the smell that they get. And so when you think about it, you know, if we have evolved, right, human beings maybe branched out and wherever the canine branched out and however million years ago that happened, you got to think to yourself, are there certain things that we still have that we're not aware of, that relate to that, that are very similar to that? And so when I heard this and when I read this, I'm like, you know, this makes so much sense, because right now, you know, women are empowered. And look, I'm not here making a judgment on whether or not you should be using the pill or have contraception, whatever. I'm not going to argue that point. However, if we were to be honest, I think people need to bring this and say, hey, you know what? Are we affecting society? You know, what I think about it is, do we give people this knowledge? Okay, so the argument is, a woman takes this pill, it affects her, what is it? Is it pheromones? I don't know what.
Yeah, I think that's what that.
Yeah, so basically humans emit a certain pheromone that the others subconsciously pick up on. And what they're calling it here is, you know, compatibility cues. So where you know, you are able to pick up on these cues, unbeknownst to you, or, you know, subconsciously, you're picking this up. And now that women are altering that chemical and making changes, men are being affected by this. And so, another topic that I wanted to discuss was, why are single men refusing or choosing not to marry? And so you're seeing a growing trend of men choosing to remain single. And so if we were to apply this logic, this to me makes sense. It means that men are being affected, that testosterone levels are being affected based on the increasing use by women of the...
And you know what's so crazy is that, you know, I mean, it's been a flood and you can find so much information on the internet. Also, people's like, you know, Instagrams and Facebooks, people who are very passionate about trying to help women and tell them to like get off these chemical substances, birth controls, because how bad they are for our bodies. Mm-hmm. And it's always been this thing where like men created this and it was always about birth control for a woman. And like, why can't a man have a birth control? And it's like, it's affecting our bodies. And like, no one really understands repercussions. And I think, which is interesting, and I know I'm going off on a separate topic a little bit about this, but
no, go ahead.
Is that how, you know, it was affecting the women's bodies. And it's just like, well, you guys need to do it. You guys need to do it. Like, this is how you have the babies, or, you know, whatever the argument it is, we've been manipulating our bodies and it's like not healthy. And we just, you know, do it. But how in doing that, it is still affecting you. And until other people, men, care about that, like, there's also been, how do we make this better? Maybe we should not have any at all. Maybe that's just what happened. Or how can we make it where it's not as damaging, if that's even possible? I mean, I you know, follow a lot of these very holistic accounts. And one of the biggest things is like, for women in their cycles, it's a lot more than just like knowing if you're pregnant or not. It is the, you know, you can, your whole life can be, I don't want to say summed up, but you can figure out and follow a lot of your own mental and psychological processes by understanding your flow. It's really, really kind of incredible. And that's why I know for a woman's standpoint, they're like, get off that, because you are not being in tune with your body. You know, this kind of goes into more of like the woo woo la la crystal stuff I do, you know, I'm into, but the pineal gland and how it's, you know, calcified, and how, you know, the lizard people that are want it to be calcified. And so that's the fluoride in the water and the toothpaste. Like, I do not use toothpaste with fluoride. I do not go to the dentist and let them give me fluoride anymore. Like, things like that. It's those small nuances, and it's like that tick over time. You don't think it's a lot. It's small, minute, but that cascading over time, that consistency is a huge, huge havoc on your body. Right. And also, now we know, others. You know,
I think there was a scene in the movie Jurassic Park. I recently watched that. And it was, what is his name? Jeff Goldblum, the character of Jeff Goldblum.
He, I saw the new one too.
Yeah, but in that first one, when you know, they're looking, they're taking a tour of the park, and the, you know, the guy's explaining how they were able to extract, you know, blood from a mosquito, whatever, and all this, and how they were able to basically recreate a dinosaur genome. And this is the line that he said. He's like, you know, you guys are so busy trying to create this. Nobody asked themselves, you know, whether they should, you know.
Yes.
They were just excited about having the ability to do that, but nobody asked, should we? And I think when you look at a lot of the things that, you know, out of necessity have been created, like, for example, again, this, you know, using chemicals for birth control. Was there a need for that at some point? You know what I mean? Like, sure, yeah, you know. But at the same time, we were like, well, what are the repercussions of that? But nobody asked that. What it was as well, like, nope, put it on a bottle, stamp it, sell it, promote it.
Yeah, like, great. I mean, right now, if we talk about pharmaceutical companies and what's out there,
right,
that's just another feather on the cap of, hey, what we can make, not really, to your point, the repercussions of what it can actually do. Is it necessary? Are there better means that are actually healthy? Because that's, you know, not what it's about. Like, there's so much... many drugs out there, and like, you know, me doing the health stuff, the, you know, learning about the nursing. I mean, just the comorbidities people have, you know, being in those long-term care facilities. And then just seeing, I mean, when you go, people are on pills, like, could be anywhere between 29, wow, 10, like, for one issue that goes to another and another. And it's, you know, something as I say easy, but as like diabetes that we can all control before it gets there, outside of, you know, type one, which is right, you usually get that to childhood and you just are not able to produce insulin. But the type two, we can control. And yeah, we have these medicines to help you control it so you can survive. But in general, we all just want to take that magic pill to like, let me just not really change anything I'm doing.
Right.
And it, I know for me, going directly to what we're talking about, chemical birth control is, you know, I originally started taking it when I was like 19, 18. And it was when I was in college. I mean, this might be a little TMI, but I was playing basketball.
Hey.
And, you know, you're on your scholarship. And I just like, so tired, so fatigued all the time. And they were just like, this is weird. Like, this is not normal. Like, you need to get a blood panel. And like, so I went to the doctor, had me go, all this stuff, because, you know, I just wasn't able. I was just, I don't know, I'm so tired, but I wasn't doing anything, you know, crazy. I wasn't staying up late. It was just like, man, I was so fatigued. Anyway, so we went there and they just found out like from the blood panel that like all my, like my blood was really low and it was my, and so I was anemic, right? And they're like, well, how is this happening? So blah, blah, blah. Turns out they're like, well, you know, on your period, like what's happening? It's just like, you know, again, TMI, but like, how like much are you going, you know, for the, oh, well, 5 days. And it's like, is it like heavy, light? I'm like, oh, it's like heavy, heavy, heavy. And they're like, uh-huh. All right. You're losing too much blood. That's what's happening. But you don't realize it's abnormal. You don't think like, oh, going through, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, like, oh, super tampons, you know, every 2 hours, like that's too much. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so they were like, you need to take this so then you can control your flow and this will help it, which it did. So I know when I took it, that's kind of what it started. Not because of the main reason people do, which is fine. But again, everything is about that checks and balances of like, is it worth what you're doing? Because if they didn't have something like that, what could I have done? I'm not sure. I'm sure there's a maybe a holistic way to do it. I don't know. But there's, I do think there's medical reasons why some of that stuff is necessary or can be used and then can you taper off, you know, or do something else. But that's kind of why I took it. And I do believe that things are different as in how you think. I've read articles about when you're on birth control, you choose different mates than you would. You're not as, what's the word? I'm like, oh,
choosy,
this
picky,
is why all my badges.
Selective?
You will know, like not picky, but like you wouldn't pick the mate that you've picked is like not maybe what you would have because you're not thinking correctly, if that makes sense. It's like clouding your judgment on things. And I'm like, oh, that's the reason why I've picked all these wrong people. No, but
oh, no.
But I'm like, maybe I should just get off it and figure it out. But to the point, it first started with, hey, this was a medical thing, to then, oh, wait, cool, the ease. And so now even having two babies, and I know all the things about it, but like, I actually like not having a period, which people can like, oh my gosh, you know? But when I found about that, after my first kid, I was like, wait, my friends were like, oh, you don't have the IUD. And I'm like, no, what is that? They're like, you don't have it at all. And I'm like, this is amazing. To the point of like, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want that thing every month.
Right.
And so they've also done ways, and like there's other products out there, right? Seasonal, we have it like 4 times instead of once every month. But again, you wonder, what's it doing? Now, some people take that stuff and they're unable to have babies and you're just like more problems with it, you know, to conceive. I haven't had those issues, but you know, those are all things that you have to consider and that you don't know until it happens to you, if you, what it's doing. So, there are very real consequences and you, like I said, you don't know what they are until they've happened. Cause there's not enough blood clots is a huge thing, huge, huge thing for women, but, these medicines, but anyways, to the point of choosing mates, to the point of men not wanting or being single. Women aren't giving off. I think of it. You're not having your period at all. At all.
Right. Right.
So then the things that would normally release, men are not feeling like the dog. She's not in heat, but we have the ability, but then you're not testosterone being like, oh, I need to fight for these women or it's just not there for our bodies innately to do. It's, you know, those work hand in hand. It's interesting what more can happen.
So, you know, I think about this, you know, because if you were to bring this up, right, because there's so many layers that the conversation can go or we can talk about. And one of those is the reason why this was liberating for women, right? And, you know, there was a big movement, right? Because women were no longer women now had sexual freedom, right? Because before, there was a risk, right? And I mean, I'm not saying there isn't a risk now. There is, of course. But what I'm saying is that now this gave women a certain amount of liberty and a free choice. And so a lot of people push this. Instead of pushing, hey, you know what? You might want to abstain from some of this stuff. You know, and again, the choices that we have made as a society to empower women, and because screw the patriarchy, in the end are hurting not only women, but it's hurting men as well. And to your point, and to the study, which is, you know, men are no longer having the testosterone levels are dropping. This could be a reason why, because women are no longer emitting or sending out those signals that they would normally do, that now a chemical is stopping. And so, you know, it's changing society. And then the question becomes, at what point do we say we cannot encourage this, or we might want, because I don't want, for me, something like that, I was like, make it legal. I don't think so. But, you know, what I would say is, let's not encourage this. In fact, let's discourage it and say, no, you know, because to your point, you were saying, well, you know, it's nice not to have to deal with it. Okay. But at the same time, it's like, you know, we're not understanding the impacts. It's like the butterfly effect, right?
100%.
One little change that you do here, you are affecting a lot of other things over here. And but you were going to say something, sorry.
I was going to say, and I mean, it's having real consequences, whether, you know, it's a certain one is happening for one person, to your point, whether it be men, whether it be actual women, it's having consequences. And, you know, you might not feel those exact ones, like, oh, now you're in the hospital because you have a blood clot, or, oh, you know, you have a man. And so, like, but the next generation, whoever, doesn't, because men are not wanting to do that. So it's having that ripple effect. But the other thing I was going to bring up when you were talking was that I wonder, that's something we can look up. So loud, sorry.
Yeah.
Is birth control versus, you know, actual abortions. When we talk about what was happening, where were those happening, like the abortions happening, and they're like, hey, we need to stop this. Let's give people birth control because that's what they're using to do it. Or was like, hey, you know, we have these pills for people to take, because you wonder, like, this freedom movement, when you're talking about women are free, I can do what I want. But then it's just like, you would expect more to be on birth control and not then go down to this abortion route where that's now, like, you know, surged in a sense. Why aren't people taking this route? Is it because it's too expensive? It's because they don't want to, they're forgetting, they're not wanting to take it every day. Like, you know, why would they choose that over? So it's like they're choosing to have their periods. So it's not that. What, you know what I mean? It's very interesting that.
Wait, hold on. Say that again. They why are they choosing to do what exactly? To not take it, or?
No, they're like, again, like be in a situation to have an abortion.
Oh, or okay, yeah,
to
yeah.
Even have that be a thought, something that they would do, okay, when there is birth control.
Right.
Were they trying to, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Why, like, it's interesting that, you know, abortion topic is even a thing when if you're doing certain things, like you could take birth control,
right?
Instead of, like, you know, when we've had conversations about how people are just using it as a birth control mechanism, you know, unfortunately and grossly, why wouldn't they take birth control?
Right.
And I wonder where in line, what came out first, and like, what's the push, you know?
I have my reasonings, yeah, because, you know, and both me and you share the same faith, right? I believe it is a spiritual war happening in our country. But I'll try to stay away from that and argue the secular point, only because I think we could make the argument to the secular world using secular points. And here is one of them, right? But me and you know damn well that that the further away people move from God, the more destructive it is for society, right? If people were, you know, living a certain way, there would be, no, to your point, there would be no need for contraception. There would be no need for for abortion. You know, this is something that a lot of women, liberated women and women who, you know, are empowered and feminist, they're not going to want to hear this, you know, because I think they feel that if we point this out and we discourage it, it makes an excuse for men to be irresponsible, right? You know, so men created the pill and they've imposed this on women, right? That's maybe how they'll frame it. And it's true, men did create the pill. And men are the more promiscuous of the sexes. Men abandon their kids more often than the woman. And so ultimately, men do share a big blame for a lot of the need for this, for that women felt that they needed to get contraception. So, I know a lot of times we get into the blame game of who's to blame, but I think both are equally to blame here on the destruction, because this is very destructive. And we're seeing it. Like, even if we take just this point that men, you know, testosterone levels in men are dropping, men are choosing to stay single, this could be a reason why, right? The increasive use of contraception, chemical birth control, that's impacting men. Maybe this will bring us into the next conversation, which is, you know, the increasing number of men refusing to either get married or just not making a family, right? Because I fall under that number, right? And I was having a conversation with a guy the other night, a friend at the bar, and talking specifically about this topic, about why there is an increase in single men or men choosing to remain single. Because here I am, 43, about to turn 44. And I'm like, I don't have a sense of urgency. But I know if I think about it logically, I should, right? I should be looking to find. And I've gotten so comfortable, and it's peaceful, you know, because I have, I guess my experience has been, you know, very rocky relationships. And it's nice to have peace. It's nice to not have to come home and not have to worry about somebody. But this, I understand it's immature way of thinking. And so I know I'm not the only one. Again, there is an increasing number. So what's happening? Why are men choosing to do that? And so I, you know, the conclusion that we came to, or that me and the guy, you know, it is, I think it, and we did talk about this in the previous, in one of our previous podcasts, which was, you know, men are now choosing to go elsewhere because of the modern woman, to a lot of men has become unattractive. And then women, well, that's insecure of men to do that. But at the end of the day, it is one of our attractions. Right. Men want peace just as much as a woman wants, you know, tall, dark and handsome. And a lot of times, being on with a woman, it brings up a lot of drama, for lack of a better term.
I mean, partly I think it's a little bit of a cop out, honestly, to be like, oh, because women are this now that. So I'm going to go over here and get that. Right. You can get it. But that the whole point is you are searching for it. You're not then being single, you're right. Looking for that. So it kind of is a double-edged sword there, where it's like,
yep,
you're choosing to be single, you know, but you actually want something. So you're looking somewhere else because you're saying you're right. Not finding what you want because it could be too much drama. But like, if you had that person, doesn't mean there's not going to be drama or hardness, you know, with it. So it's like, you're right. Like, we all want it easy, right? Like that's the thing. And we want it to be easy, and it's just not, none of it is. And to your point of the urgency point, I think was the most interesting thing that you said there, because it's that I'm not urgent to do it. And then you look and then you could be like, man, my time is gone.
Right.
But at the same time, men can, you can have children and do that a lot longer. But, and I think as a society, as we've increased, I mean, think of, you know, our parents. I mean, my mom had me when she was 22, and like, I've waited till 32 to even have my first child. The difference in that, you know, when she was 40, which is like, I'm going to be 40 in 2 years. Her baby, which is me, is 20. That's crazy. She's got like a whole life to do stuff. I'm right now, you know, just had another kid, and when I'm 55, almost 60, they're barely going to be 20. And that's, it's interesting how life, and I think when you watch certain things on people's stories, and again, with the internet, you can see a lot more what people are doing, that with this surge of what's happening, you also hear and see the group and the people who are like, I want to be a young mom. I don't want to wait till I'm 30. I want to be 20. So there is that. And I feel like a part of the life and the world and contrast is showing people, they're like, well, I don't want that. And there's going to be a turn of people who, to the point you can see it on now. It's like, they've tricked us into working, ladies. Let's be stay-at-home moms. Like, we don't want to work, blah, blah, blah. And there's a group of people who are like that. And that is fine. And it might be more than the people who want to like climb the ladder. That is great. But to your point, we've seen it. It's a cycle. There's cycles to this stuff. And we might be at somewhere we've never been, but then it's going to always come back because we are humans. And it's interesting to see where it goes. It's scary to see where it goes because the front, when you brought up about, should we do it? That's the thing about human, right? Yeah. We can't build humans. We have we know we can do it, right? That was the whole thing with the lamb and the ear. And like, can we, you know, genetically create a human? And they were like, nope, we're not doing it. Should we do it? So there's things we have as a, you know, species. Human races be like, no, go ahead. Yep.
I'm going to expand on the should we. Because that, to your point, it expands to so many other places, right? And so, and when I look at it and I'm like, okay, the question is, sure, we have all this capability, but that's not the fundamental question. Should be, is this something we should do? And the direction that I wanted to take this was, because in that same conversation over the weekend, as I was talking to a couple fellows at this bar, and when I was looking around, typical bar setting, right? You know, center, whatever. And I was looking around and I saw it was a bunch of single, you know, a lot of young men. And then maybe it was probably 3-to-1 ratio men to females, right? There were less females in there. And when you kind of stand outside of the whole situation and observe, right, the dynamic, the ritual that, you know, the sexes take, you know, to. And so I was having this conversation with these two guys next to me, and one of them, any girl who walks in was probably looking at this guy, very attractive guy. And, you know, I know for a fact, cause I he's been there multiple times and, you know, I've seen him talking to multiple ladies, and he's around my age, you know, and he's still single. And this is the one who I was having this conversation with. And then the next guy next to me, I would say he's probably doesn't have as much luck with women as the other guy. Right. And so it was interesting to observe. And also I was like making mental notes. I'm like, this is interesting because see, and we've talked about this before, there's 80% of women who are sleeping with 20% of the single men, right? 80% of single women, 20% of the top men are betting. And so what does that mean? That means that there's all these guys out there, like the guy who was sitting next to me, who is unable to do that. And I was like, you know, here is a question of, you have the power, talking about the guy who's attractive and who's able to bet these women, but choosing not to for the greater good. And what I mean by that is, okay, you have single men who are, and excuse my language, who are effing everything, right? And I was trying to think about this analogy, and I'm like trying to correlate, and I'm like, you know what? That doesn't make you a man, because generally for most men, is the most women you can bet, men give themselves a high five, right? This is just, I'm not sharing anything new here that you don't know. Men, you know, the number of women, it's a high five thing. For women, it's not. It doesn't have the same. And I don't want to get into the conversation of why not, but it just isn't. So then the question is, okay, here is, you know, this guy who has the ability, right? And now he is removing a woman who could have been the potential for the guy next to him. I'm just hypothetically, right? Could have been the potential for this guy right here, who has now been removed from the market, because men value, we value purity. I don't know if you knew this, but men do. You know, men will say, well, I don't care. No, men care. Because that man that you ask, well, what is the number? Like, what's your threshold? You know, if a man is answering honestly, you know, there's a number where he's like, yeah, that's too much. That's too many. Right. And so here is a guy, single guy, who is now doing this to a female. He has the ability to do it. He's an attractive guy. He's going to get the girl. But then the question is, should he do that? And is that being a man? And I think I think you're you slowly are destroying society. And so, you know, okay, you can bang many chicks. Great. You destroy it. You're destroying.
Not leave that person, honestly, though, too, because, I mean, you know, people can find themselves married and all that stuff and at any point in time. But when that is also happening, there comes also a level of like your one immaturity. And to your point, you have the power, you know, oh, I'm this or that, regardless. But like, why do you want to go there and not have its superficial relationships or not even having them? Like, there's also an issue with you. It's not just about now you're making it difficult for the whole world or whatever you want to say, but where does it lie within you where like you're not satisfied? There's something going on where you think that that's awesome or that like you haven't found what you need either, you know?
Yeah. No, you know, and I think, you know, going back to the point, because I was talking to this guy and we were talking about a particular girl that, you know, frequents the bar and I guess he's been trying to woo this girl. But he's not making that much of an effort because, again, the attractive guy, he's used to women approaching him. So for him to put in work, he's the kind of guy that's not going to do it. And I was like, thinking about Meg, he has a different experience than I do, right? Because I have to put in work. Never has a woman just come up to me and be like, you know, start talking, whereas he has had that experience. So we were having this conversation. I'm like, you know, your experience is very unique. I think if you put in a little bit of more effort, I think you could, you know, we were talking about the specific girl that he wanted to, you know, hook up with. But you know, again, I found it kind of interesting. And to go back and make the kind of solidify the point here, I might go off on a little tangent, but I was watching the show or this male female show. I forget what it's called. And the guy, the host of the show, always makes the point that, hey, men want multiple partners with as frequently as possible, right? Which I agree. But then he goes further on and he says, well, you know, women should understand that men, you know, high value men are going to bed a lot of women. And if you want to be in that guy's life, you better be prepared to know that he's going to, you know, have other women besides you. You can be his main chick, but he's going to have a side chick. And this is why I think the conversation and the experience that I had over the weekend, and I was like, you know what, this is crazy. And to the point, yes, okay, cool. This high-valued men are going to have that option, right? That they're going to have a lot of women, and that's just, that comes with the territory. But the question is, does that make him a man? And should he do that, right? Because according to the host of the show, he was like, you know, yeah, that's a high value man and that's what he wants. And that's how a woman who wants to be with him should accept him as that way. And I'm like, sure. But I think there are the question is not can he? The question is, should he do that? And I wanted to drive home this point because when I was analyzing and thinking about this, I'm like, well, no, this is how you destroy societies. We do have animal instincts, right? Sure, I get that. I always make those points, but we're not animals. And to a certain extent, we are elevated. Human beings are elevated. And because to the point that I made earlier, animals don't create peace. Okay. When I was watching this guy training dogs, a pack of dogs who don't like each other, they can't negotiate. They can't have conversations. Whereas human beings, we can. And so, yes, we share instincts. We share similar instincts with animals, but we are not animals. So, you know, you have women walking around thinking sexual promiscuity is going to make them equal to men. Thus, the chemical birth control that there is here and why it was pushed. Okay, and in my opinion, it doesn't. It makes women undesirable for marriage. This is the truth that nobody is telling women this.
Well, right. I want to put out there, though, that I honestly believe that the birth control thing is, it's really, to be honest, it's not about the whole
you're now going being promiscuous with whatever. You might have, you know, three relationships, but in those relationships, like for you years, and it's in those relationships where you're actually reasons why you're actually taking it, because you have now been with this person and it's like, I don't want this. And like, so you're doing it, you know, kind of, yeah. I don't want to say it for them. Yeah. You're doing it for yourself too. Control. But like, it's not, you know, just to like be out there and like be promiscuous, but it's in that relationship that you're having that's been a year and you're like, okay, I like this guy, but he's not done this or proposed or whatever the case is, right? Or maybe he's not the one, but like you're in that least committed relationship. And so you're doing those things, but you don't want those consequences. So I just want to put it out there that doesn't mean you're some Sally.
I get it. And it's a good point. It's worth making. Continuing my train of thought here, because I was like, you know, this is again layered and maybe I'm all over the place here, but I just kind of want to get this out of my mind or out of my head and see if I can do a good job. So what happened, right? Men, I believe men stopped being men. And one of those reasons I think was because I think men, and this is going to sound wrong, but I think it's true. I think men, we listened to women telling us how we should act. Even though we all knew damn well that women don't know what they want. And what I'm reminded of is a conversation that we had recently where you had said something about, you know, women want a nice guy. And I'm like, that's what women say they want. But what do women reward? Women don't reward the nice guy. Women are rewarding the bad guy. And that's why 20% of the men out there, because again, a guy who's attractive, good looking, a top tier man, but he's betting a lot of women. In my view, that's not a good guy, right? You're making bad choices, right? You shouldn't be doing that to women. Now we can say and argue and say, well, no, women chose to do that. But, you know, I guarantee you a lot of those women probably thought that they were going to, you know, end up with this guy. And so, but women don't care because women don't have the same reaction to male promiscuity, when they're single as men do, right? Because this is the truth. A body count does make a difference for men. It does. It's not the same thing. And the reason I say that is because, you know, I think we've talked about this on the show. Women don't want to teach a guy how to have sex. You know, they don't want to teach it. They want a guy who is experienced, whereas men don't care. In fact, we prefer not to have, you know, somebody who's experienced in teaching you crazy shit. And you're like, what the hell? What's happening? I've been there. And you're like, this is new. I don't like it. Which one of your, you know, exes taught you this shit? And I'm like, no, you're going to have to unlearn all that crap.
That's always a question, right? I think they even have it in a Drake song. It's like, you know, oh, you're learning some new, you got some new things that I've never taught you. So then like, where did you get this?
Well, and so in one thing that reason I made that point about, you know, the conversation we had about women not knowing what they want, they'll say they know what they want, but in reality, they don't. And I think they lie to themselves. And I'm going to reference a study that was done. And it was a study based on male-female arousal. And the study focused on basically what they would do is they would sit, they did this for both men and women, right? They grabbed 100 women, whatever, and 100 men, and basically sat them in front of a computer and showed them images, right? And they were asked to, you know, select the images what they found attractive. And what they also did is they put sensors in their genitals. And what they did is
this just got interesting.
No, this is dude, listen to this. But what did it do? It revealed that that women were lying to themselves, because what would happen is that they clicked on the images that would be quote unquote socially acceptable. Men were honest, right? They saw a picture of a beautiful woman. They're like, yeah, this is And women would click on what was socially acceptable, whereas their genitals were saying otherwise on images that would not be socially acceptable. And so again,
I want to know what these images were, because it's interesting.
I should have grabbed the link.
You'd be like, oh yeah. No, I'm not gonna.
Oh, No, one of the things, this is crazy though. One of the things was that they would show them like weird, random things that like men were like, what the heck? How does that get you aroused?
Like cleaning the kitchen. Like, ooh, so, a man cleaning the kitchen. Ooh.
Yeah,
a man with kids, even if they're ugly. Ooh.
Yes, yeah, exactly, dude. Like this women won't say that. They'll say, oh no, yeah, I want a nice guy who does this. And men listen to that. Men, we thought that women were being honest when they said this is what they wanted. But here we are, and I think we're changing.
You know what I'll tell you?
Yeah.
So, also about the bad boy comment is that what you just described in the bar. Even though that guy that was like the attractive guy might have not have gone up to women as much, there's that middle ground where there's guys who are more the bad boys, whatever, and they will do that. And mm-hmm. the guy that's like less likely to do that kind of zen, not maybe
right.
as women, we want to be, chased. You know, we yeah. want to be chased. We want that person to like, even if to say no, like, oh, why would you even think that, you know? But if you don't have that and that person's not doing that, the guys that maybe are, is maybe not the nice guy, especially growing up. He's a little shy, not really coming at you. Like, and having someone who is more aggressive, even if they're bad, you're feeling wanted. You're feeling like this person would do everything, whether it be toxic or not. You know what I mean? Like, we don't necessarily understand that unless you've like seen that, or like your dad yeah. is nice or something like that, where you're like, oh, this is how a guy should be. I think in general, we want that, like the whole like sniffing butt. Someone better come sniff me. You know, like that's what you should be doing. You should be like yeah. fawning me. And yeah. if you're not, it's like, not even that you maybe not be interested, but like this other guy here is doing that. So he's going to get my initial like, and unfortunately, that's usually the bad guys. That's usually the guys that are like going around doing it to 10 girls. And we're still like, oh, well, we're getting it. So that's bad.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's one of the things that I told him, because when I was having the conversation with him before the other guy showed up, when I was having the conversation with him about the girl he was interested in, I was like, well, you just have to, you're going to have to put effort because again, this is not something that he's probably used to. He's used to giving a girl attention and boom, he's got her. And he, you know, reached out to this girl and she was not interested. And then he stopped. And so I was like, no, look, man, I'm telling you, coming. And I always say this line, but it's so true. I'm a short, fat, bald dude. You know, who, I mean, women will never put that down as the choices of what they're attracted to. They don't. But here I am, and I was telling him this, I'm doing okay. So what is it? Why? And it's because, to your point, because of persistence, because I don't take no for an answer. You know, yes, I don't have 100% success, but to your point, it is because of persistence and consistency. That I've had been able to, you know, even be in relationships with some women because of my persistence. I think it was a girl who I ended up in a relationship with. I pursued her for 2 years. It's not about, you know, a lot of times just that initial attraction. A lot of times women will value consistency.
But when that happened, yep. where when you've put in effort, this effort for somebody, and then like you've got them finally in your hooks. And yep. then you're like, wait, this is not what I wanted or thought at all, too, from your side.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Talk about that.
Okay. Well, about that. No. You're not going to talk about it. No, you know, I did want to stay in this topic because, like, yeah, to your point, we could go so many directions, but I want to stay on this. And there was another quote that I saw in a movie. And again, all of this is about, you know, we're so excited that we could, nobody asked if we should. And there's another quote in another movie that I quote all the time, which is, with great power comes great responsibility, right? And so the point I was making earlier, men give themselves high fives when they, you know, bet a woman, right? Between amongst themselves, men are like, yeah, man, you're the alpha man. And I look at that and I'm like, well, sure. But I think, in my opinion, to a certain extent, that's an abuse of power. Because the sexes are different. We are different. Sex for women is very easily accessible. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
And the point I was going to make is, like, for example, most women can walk out the front door of their house, spread their legs open, and have a guy there willing, ready, and able to perform. Most men can't do that. Walk out their house and do the same. Most men can't do that. There'd be the cops would be called on them, right? So this is why I was making the point that purity from a woman is valued by a man. And this is the reason why it's valued, because sex is so attainable for women that a woman who has the power to do that chooses not to. That's valuable to a guy. And so on the other hand, you have women who are attracted to an alpha man, and that alpha man can have most any woman he wants, right? And again, I go back to the 80-20 rule, 80% of the women are betting 20% of the high valued men. So that alpha man will attract a lot of women. So logically, right, if that alpha man takes many women, then the rest of the men are going to be left with what? His basically his scraps, his leftovers, or with women who no longer have purity, which is what men value. So when women go for an alpha man, that will be, they want an alpha man who's going to be loyal. They are looking for a man that has great power, right? He has that ability, right? And women are attracted to that. But, and the relationship that I wanted to make this, and me and you understand this, but I don't know if I can make this. Am I all over the place, Samantha? Am I losing you?
No. Okay. I think it all has cohesion. It's just like, there's a lot of topics on this, but I do think it has cohesion. It's just,
right,
for sure.
Right. And so, and the point I'm trying to make is, again, power, great responsibility. Sure. You are an alpha man, a guy who is able to bet all these women. Women are attracted to that.
It's like, be choosy. Be more choosier. Yes. Be choosier.
Yes. So I think, a guy who has that ability, he does wield a lot of power, but I think he needs to do it wisely and has to control those instincts and desires to be able to maintain a certain level of peace within the community, right? If we were to make this a micro level thing, right? The in a town, the guy who's betting every woman is leaving less options for everybody, all these other men, right? And all these other men frustrated about this causes conflict. So having that guy who has the power to do that should be wise to not, do that, even though it is valued. You see what I'm saying?
Bring it whole back, when we talk about too, like when we're further away from, the religious beliefs and how this wasn't necessarily an issue before because of relationships and how you would wait and those pieces. And as we've gone further away from the church, how this now is another, problem and another thing that power, how you have to wield it and realize that. And I don't think enough people are having this conversation or even realize this is a thing at all, know?
Yeah. And when I was watching that show, that the guy who trains dogs, and if you think about the animal kingdom, right, specifically dogs, so you have a pack of dogs where the alpha male, technically he's the one who gets to pick, right? He has all of them, and the other dogs are kind of basically submissive to him. But you'll notice that it'll create chaos within that species, because that alpha dog is always going to be consistently challenged by other dogs who want to be the alpha dog. And so if that alpha dog had a conscience and had wisdom, like human beings do, he would know better and say, hey, I don't necessarily, but it is instinctual, because you want to spread your seed and you want your seed to go everywhere. It's part of evolution. But we are at a higher level, us human beings. And so the having the ability to do that does not mean that that's how it should be. We are elevated from the animal kingdom. And so that alpha male should choose one female so that there is peace, so that the other dogs have an option. So while, and maybe this does work a little bit better in the animal kingdom, because, animals find out, hey, I guess I can't But in the world, I think it does cause wars among humans, and it can't work among humans because, again, I keep making this point: we are elevated from the animals, and if we have what we call moral law, right? We have rules that we live by. So again, in order to have harmony, that alpha man, in my opinion, would need to answer to a higher power, a moral law that's above him. I don't want to get into the religious topic, but it is related. And I think we as a society, when we've left a lot of this, we've taken a lot of that wisdom out from people, and people no longer have this, you know, because, and we've had this conversation, right? Women by nature want to be, submissive to a good leader, right? A good leader should want to be submissive to a greater power, right? That's going to hold him morally accountable, not only to himself, but for the sake of his wife, for the sake of his children. So, you know, and I was watching that show that I was watching, and, you know, there was women there who were complaining, and the guy was like, no, you're just gonna have to put up with this. A man, alpha man, gets to choose. And I was hearing the women's arguments, but they were arguing it from a this is unfair standpoint, right? They were saying it's unfair that this guy who thinks that, you know, that I'm going to put up with him being going out, stepping off and having a side chick, I'm never going to put up with that. But the guy has options, right? If he's taking care of you, right? Let's say it's a billionaire guy or a millionaire who, you know, is this girl going to have an opportunity to find another man like him? No. So should she put up with it? This is the argument that the guy was making. And the girl was like, well, that's unfair. But in my opinion, when I was listening to her, I'm like, I can understand what she was trying to appeal to. And I think the mistake was that, you know, when women demand loyalty, I think they do it out of a subconscious awareness to a moral law that was given to mankind by God, to which the man needs to be held accountable to. But she wasn't able to word that right. You know, that man is not accountable to you, woman. That man needs to be held to those standards, accountable to God, to a higher power. So for peace and harmony, both sexes should seek for monogamy. However, women in general will overlook a man's infidelity if he is providing in every other aspect. And a man will be unfaithful to his wife if he has the ability and opportunity to do it. Both are wrong because both violate the moral code, which is higher than the role of the sex. There's a scene in the movie Schindler's List where a sadistic Nazi officer is killing Jews arbitrarily. Schindler doesn't like that, and he wants to have him stop killing Jews. So after a night of drinking, the Nazi officer looks over to Schindler and realizes that Schindler isn't as drunk as he is. And he tells him, you're never drunk. That's real control. Control is power, he says. In a moment of brilliance, I think it's brilliance, Schindler shares with the officer a piece of wisdom. Schindler explains to him that real power is when you're justified in killing someone who has broken the law, and yet you don't kill them. You pardon him. That's real power, he says. This is how I look at this subject on the alpha male. Real power is when you are very capable of getting many women, but you don't. You abstain. You abstain for the good of society. And I don't know, am I losing you, Samantha? I know I'm kind of layered here in the subject.
No. I think that comment was like phenomenal. That was really great. I do have to
wrap
up and get
all right, we'll leave it there.